Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
And the program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Boy, listening to the sports update there with Greg. The Warriors now, Karl Anthony Towns, rumors. Now, we heard last week the Knicks maybe interested in Karl Anthony Towns. Go east, please. Stay. Get out of the west. Get all the. Please take the good players and move them to the other side of the country, would you? It's coming from me. Sacramento Kings guy. Could you imagine the Warriors, seriously now, assuming that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are good next year, and I hope that they are, and you add Karl Anthony Towns to that mix? Good Lord. All right, 800-636-8686. A little bit later this hour, Brett McMurphy from Stadium Network. Mark Stein, the Hall of Fame writer from the New York Times. He'll be joining us, but your phone calls welcome at 800-636-8686. So the playoffs are set, and the upsets, who are you picking? I got to tell you, I could see Tennessee beating New England. I could easily see that. I like Tennessee. I think they're a good team. You know, Henry obviously running the ball well, defense. You know, New England definitely looks vulnerable. That is for sure. And I know we say that every year, and then, you know, we get to the Super Bowl and we're covering the New England Patriots. But it does look a little different this year. All right, let's get to some phone calls. We get to Winston-Salem and Nate. Hello, Nate. Welcome to the show.
Brett, I love the fact that you hate New England and you're down on them, but you're not giving enough credit to the Bills.
Well, wait, let me ask you something. I made one comment about New England, and you just ascertained that I hate New England. So where did that come from?
One comment? You've been down on them for the last hour.
Okay. Do you think New England's playing well right now?
No, they're okay. Looking pretty bad.
Just curious. And by the way, the Bills, who are playing well, did they just not play in New England last week? And what happened in that game?
Well, they lost. Okay. They're playing pretty well.
Yeah, they are playing well. Buffalo, Sean McDermott's done a great job. I love Josh Allen. I like the way he plays. I'm not so sure he can stay healthy playing that way. I like their defense. But, you know, again, we know what their nemesis is. Their nemesis is New England. They have not shown that they can beat them.
It's not New England. It's Bill Belichick.
Well, I don't care. Does Bill Belichick play on the field? They can't beat New England, all right? You can call Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, say whatever you want. They can't beat New England. That has not been the team they can beat. Now, maybe this year it will change.
If they play this year, are they going to lose to them?
I don't know. Well, let's wait and see what happens. Why are we talking about that this week? Why are we talking about that this week?
I'm asking you.
I don't know, because what happens if Tom Brady gets hurt? What happens if your quarterback gets hurt in Allen? What happens? Don't be talking about games that aren't even on the schedule yet, because injuries can change things in a hurry.
Fair enough.
Hey, I want to say something to you.
Yes, sir.
Happy New Year, okay?
You too.
All right, there you go. Because I hate the Patriots. You know what's amazing to me? I've got a fan in Buffalo who's worried about the New England Patriots. Forget about the Patriots. You play in Houston this weekend. Why are we talking about the Bills and the Patriots? Worry about winning a game on the road in Houston. I don't get that. How about winning a game that you should win? And I didn't say they should win. I think that's going to be a very interesting game. I could see a lot of the road teams winning this weekend. I mean, when I look at the Titans, anyone going to be surprised if the Titans beat the Patriots in Foxborough? I would be surprised if the Vikings win, because I'm still saying in a big game, I'm taking Drew Brees over Kirk Cousins. And is there anybody that's going to be surprised with another bad injury to the Eagles and their offensive line losing the right guard if Seattle goes in and beats Philadelphia? So here are your road teams: Bills, Titans, Vikings, Seahawks. Now, it'd be unlikely that all four teams are going to win. But the road team's looking good. Road teams this wild card weekend look like they can be pretty good. Now, we're still waiting on Black Monday to see who else is going to get the pink slip. Freddie Kitchens, Pat Shurmur. It's just a matter of time for Jason Garrett. Don't know what's going on in Jacksonville. But unbelievable. I thought we'd have more coaches. All right, couple of tweets. This is interesting. Grant, who's the first to go? Vladdy, Luke, losing the last seven can't be good. You know what's interesting, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here on a Monday, the day after the NFL season, talking about the Sacramento Kings. But I'm going to say this in general in sports. Why is it in all sports that a team can lose two of their best players and fans just exist as if that did not happen? In other words, they talk and they make comments and put blame on a front office or a head coach in any sport when your best players get hurt. Sacramento has had De'Aaron Fox miss 19 games, and Marvin Bagley has missed almost the entire season. And yet, fire Vladdy, fire Luke Walton, because the Kings are awful because they've lost seven in a row. They're 12-21. That's not good. But I always go back and say this, and you pick any team, all right? Pick any team that loses their starting quarterback. Maybe the exception of what we saw with Nick Foles, but I think you understand where I'm coming from. If I had taken a poll among NBA fans, and I said, the Kings are going to be without Marvin Bagley for almost a whole year, and De'Aaron Fox is going to miss 19 games, what do you think their record would be going into the new year? I bet you over 90% of NBA fans would say less than 10 wins. That would be my guess. But now, here we are, and they're like, gee, everyone should be fired. Happens in every sport, doesn't matter what city you're in. Always, you know, we forget about guys that get hurt. Stars on teams, or best players on teams get hurt. You see it. What do you think happened last year when LeBron James got hurt for the Lakers? What happened to the Lakers? Is that Magic Johnson's fault? Right? Was that Jeannie Buss's fault? That Magic Johnson, or that LeBron James got hurt? Let me ask you this. Is it Steve Kerr's fault? Are we going to fire Steve Kerr this year? Because Steph Curry is out for the year and Klay Thompson's got an ACL? Are we going to fire Steve Kerr? Are we going to fire the front office of the Golden State Warriors because they're in last place or close to it because they lost their starting backcourt? Or do we give them a pass? Now, I understand their body of work would change a lot of people's opinions, and that is understandable. But why do we always discount injuries when we talk about people's jobs? Can we at least see a team play a half a season even? Can we get a half season, please, of a team that's healthy in basketball to see what they have? I mean, is that asking too much? That's what I deal with. So Fantasy FF only. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. By the way, maybe you can send me another tweet at Grant Napier Show and ask and put down, let me know what you think the Kings record would have been if I told you on October 23rd in the afternoon before they played game one that they'd be without those two players for most of the season. Then let me know what you think their record should be. All right, if you want to call the show, 800-636-8686. All right, so we're going to talk some college football with Brett McMurphy. And I don't want to get into the officiating too much. But in that game, the Ohio State-Clemson game, does that border on common sense? In other words, rules need to be followed. There really should not be gray area when it comes to a rule. But shouldn't there be a thing called common sense when you look at a play that was reversed on an Ohio State touchdown on a ball that looked like it was caught, then fumbled, and then taken the other way for a touchdown? When you watch football, isn't that a football play? Isn't that a catch and a fumble? You know, it's funny. We talk about this on Christmas Day. Do you watch the Lakers-Clippers game? When Patrick Beverley, with only, what, 3 seconds left, knocked the ball out of LeBron James' hands and it went behind him into the stands? 100% of the time, before replay, 100% of the time, that's Lakers ball, last touch by the defender, right? But because you can slow down and zoom in and see that the ball grazed the fingertip of LeBron James going out of bounds, the call is reversed. Same thing in baseball. Player slides in the second, beats the throw, clearly safe. But the momentum coming into the base, their body is off the bag by a whisker. And the mitt is on the runner, and he's called out. Forever, that has been safe. Clearly beat the throw, was on the bag. But you zoom in 100 times, and you see that the player just came off the bag a minuscule. Is that really what we want, an instant replay? I mean, a ball goes out of bounds off Patrick Beverley. He's the one that knocked the ball away, and it goes off the fingertips of LeBron James, and it goes to the Clippers. See, those are the things that I don't understand. I really don't. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about, I think, this matchup coming up in a little more than a week, 2 weeks, should be an absolute dandy. Should be a dandy with Clemson and LSU. Brett McMurphy, Stadium Insider, College Football Insider. He'll be coming up next right here on The Jim Rome Show.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Moving right along, we're going to talk some college football. Joining us right here on the Jim Rome Show, Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider for Stadium Network. Brett, always good when we can chat with you. Thank you so much. It's Grant Napier. How are you today?
Hey, good, Grant. Merry Christmas and an early Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you, Brett. Let's start with the nightcap, with that phenomenal game between Ohio State and Clemson. What's the one thing above others that you took away from that game?
You're going to have to drive a stake through Clemson's heart to get rid of these guys. They've won 29 in a row. They probably should have lost to Ohio State. They were very fortunate not to be down by 3 or 4 touchdowns in the first half. You know, I know Ohio State supporters will point to some questionable officiating calls, but the bottom line is, you know, Ohio State should have had 3 or 4 touchdowns in the first half. They had to settle for field goals. And then they had chances to win that game, but Clemson, with the game on the line, they drove 99 yards for 1 touchdown drive, and then with 3 minutes to go, pinned on their own 6-yard line, they drove 94 yards in only 4 plays, and I think that's why Clemson moves on. And, you know, now can they continue it against LSU? It's going to be tough. I know it seems like everyone in the world loves LSU right now. You just wonder if – is Joe Burrow ever going to have a, not a bad game, but just like a sub, not incredible game? And obviously, Brent Venables has 2 weeks to prepare for Joe Brady and the Tigers. So it will be a, as Romy would say, an epic battle in the Dome.
You know, you talk about that drive, and you've watched a lot of college football over the years and a lot of big games, and obviously that's a huge game because the winner goes on to the national championship. But based on the time, based on where that ball was to start that drive and how quickly they scored, is that one of the great drives you've ever seen?
Yeah, it really was because, again, and I talked to Dabo Swinney about this earlier this year, and it was when everybody was down on Trevor Lawrence. What's wrong with Trevor Lawrence? His numbers compared to last year were not even close. And this was coming off the close loss against North Carolina. And he said something to me that stuck with me at that time, and he said, look, Brett, he's been here a year and a half. The North Carolina game was the first time in his career here at Clemson where he's been involved in a game that's been decided by 14 points or less in the fourth quarter, because the close call against Syracuse last year, he was hurt. He wasn't in that game. And so here's another example. They're in a tight game. You know, they're down with 3 minutes to go. And, you know, he was incredible. And at 4 plays, they go down and score. I talked to some of the Clemson players after the game. I talked to Jeff Scott, the co-offensive coordinator for Clemson. And I said, you know, were you ever worried at any time? And he said, you know, never, because of the quarterback we have. And then he also showed his wheels on that 67-yard touchdown run. But, yeah, that drive in that situation, it's one of the best I've ever seen. You know, I'd have to go back to another Clemson quarterback, Deshaun Watson, in Tampa when they won the national title with the touchdown to Hunter Renfrow.
Listen, Dabo Swinney is already up there among the great coaches of college football, but if he's able to win against LSU, what does that do for his legacy?
I think it puts, I mean, again, we're you know, team of the decade or whatever, Alabama without question, but team of the last half decade, it's Clemson. I mean, Clemson has surpassed Alabama. This will be their third national championship in the last 5 years. Alabama has two, and nobody can compare with that. And then the other thing that really stands out for Clemson is this will be, if they end up winning this, this will be the ninth consecutive year that they have finished the season ranked higher or the same as they were in the preseason in the AP poll. So every year they have exceeded expectations. Last year they were preseason number two. They ended up winning it. This year they're preseason number one. Can't do any better than that, but you can match it. But I think what Dabo has done has been remarkable, especially now with the kind of parity that there is, seems to be everywhere else in the country. And also, again, when Saban was having success, when Belichick having a lot of success, the perception was you can't have fun. You have to, you know, business-like and all that. Dabo's the complete 180 of that. He has fun. His players have fun, are allowed to have fun. Still, they take care of business on the field. And, yeah, he's I would say he can make the argument now he's the best coach in college football if he wins this national title. Even if he loses, he is certainly in the top two.
All right, let's talk about LSU. When you look at Joe Burrow, is this one of the great stories in recent memory among college football teams and their players? I mean, everything that he's gone through and to get to this point, I mean, it's just remarkable, isn't it?
I mean, I hate to be prisoner of the moment, but this is arguably the greatest individual season for a player in college football history. I mean, for what he's done, I mean, 55 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions, 370 yards a game. And again, this is not a dink and dunk offense. He's throwing the ball down the field and he's completing 78% of his passes. You know, again, we still have to see what's going to happen in the final, but up to this point, it's just been remarkable. And in that first half against Oklahoma, and yeah, you can say, well, you know what, this shows Oklahoma shouldn't have been there. You know, Oklahoma was the fourth best team, like it or not. And what Burrow did to them in the first half, I've never seen anybody do before ever, and I don't know if we'll ever see it again. And, you know, now a fitting cap to the season, playing, you know, essentially a home game in what will be the, I would say, the hardest ticket in sports, with, you know, the entire state of Louisiana trying to cram into the Superdome for that championship game.
Would you be surprised if this game was not competitive and LSU handled Clemson easily? Would that surprise you?
You know, I actually think before the playoff started, Clemson was my pick to win it. I thought they were the best team. You know, but after seeing, I was at the Fiesta Bowl, after seeing how well Ohio State was able to move the ball on them, man, I don't know if they're going to be able to make enough stops against LSU. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but then last year I didn't think Clemson was going to blow out Alabama, and these games tend to be like the old Super Bowls where it gets lopsided and then it just gets out of hand. You know, Dabo's got 2 weeks. Venables has 2 weeks. You know, you wonder health-wise, the receivers at Clemson got banged up a little bit at Ohio State. Will they be at full speed? You know, I just hope for college football we have a competitive game, a close game. But certainly if LSU jumps out, you know, it's going to be tough for Clemson to come back. But having said that, you know, Clemson's down 16-0, and they scored 2 touchdowns in the final 5 minutes of the first half and totally flipped that game.
I want to get to you about the state of college football. And, you know, because of our college football playoff with only 4 teams and the fact that in the other bowl games, so many players are electing not to play, it has really diminished the interest in the sport. Do you see it that way? I mean, is this a fixable situation for college football going forward? And if so, what would be the one change that you may make?
Well, no, I think you're right. And I think it's, you know, I'm actually in Pasadena now for the Rose Bowl with Oregon and Wisconsin. And, And I don't want to say it's an oversight or it's getting overlooked, but so much emphasis is being put onto the playoff that it's playoff or bust. So, you know, Baylor has a great year. They're in the Sugar Bowl. You know, but how much interest is there outside of Waco? I'm not sure. And I don't know how you can change that. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, perceive that we're going to get to an 18 playoff when the current deal expires in 6 years. Maybe that happens. Maybe it doesn't. You know, but I really don't know what you can do because you're not going to get rid of the playoff. You can't, you know, the bowls that are not part of the playoff, you can't increase the importance of them because they are what they are. I don't buy the comparison. Well, they're the NIT compared to the NCAA. I don't buy that, but that's just the reality of it. And, you know, you wonder, I hope we don't ever get to this point. What if we ever get to a point where a player says, well, I'm not going to play in the playoff because I don't want to take a chance to hurt my draft status in the NFL? Then I think that would obviously be detrimental to the college game. I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon, but, you know, a lot of things have happened. I never thought we'd see guys sit out bowl games a few years ago, and now that's the norm instead of the exception.
I can't predict the future any more than you can, but I sure hope that we're not having a conversation on January 14th talking about the officiating, because that was what came out of that Ohio State game. You were there, you know, against Clemson. You know, call it what you want. I know it's part of the sport, but boy, that would be bad news in this championship game. Did you, when you were at that game, Fiesta Bowl, I mean, was that the talk amongst you and your colleagues in the business? I mean, was that the number one topic of conversation after the game at the Fiesta Bowl?
You know, Grant, it really was. And the thing is, there's two things. First, you know, there were two, you know, humongous calls. The first one was the targeting call.
Yes.
That was the correct call. Now, you can say you hate the rule and that rule needs to be changed, but by the letter of the law, by the way the rule was written, that was a targeting. That was the correct call. The overturn of the fumble return for the touchdown for Ohio State, you know, you can get 100 people in a room and you're probably going to get a 50-50 breakdown on if it was a good call or a bad call. But you're right. The bottom line is you don't want that to determine the game. But having to go back to what I said initially, look, despite these calls, you know, Ohio State could have won this game if they don't give up the late touchdown or Justin Fields doesn't throw the interception in the final seconds of the game. And take it for whatever it's worth, but just to give you a heads up, Pac-12 officials will be working the national title game in the Superdome.
Brett, really appreciate you making the time. I know you're swamped. Happy New Year, and enjoy the championship game in 2 weeks. And again, thank you so much.
Anytime, Grant. Thank you.
All right, good stuff right there. Brett McMurphy, College Football Insider for the Stadium Network. I don't see how you can't talk about the officiating, and I hate talking about officiating, but, I mean, those two calls, and he made a great point. The rule is the problem with that targeting in that particular instance. And I always like to bring common sense into officiating. And unfortunately, you can't use common sense in officiating because officials have to go by the way the rules are written. Officials can't make up their own rules. I know a lot of fans think that they do, but they don't. Okay? They're evaluated. Their futures depend on how they perform on the field or on the court or whatever the case may be. They have to follow the rule. The rule is the problem. And unfortunately, in a lot of these calls that we're arguing about, we can't bring common sense into it. That's the frustrating part. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some NBA basketball with Mark Stein. We got a lot of things that we want to go over with him. He covers the NBA for the New York Times. But the bottom of the hour, it is time now for our sports update. And it is time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This comes from Bella B in Calgary. Grant, do you have any New Year's resolutions? If so, what are they? No. Actually, the only thing, and it's really not a resolution, is to be here, maybe not necessarily in this chair, but I would like to be, next year. In other words, my goal is to be breathing on New Year's Eve next year. It's not really a resolution, but that's my goal every year. Now, I'm not getting off on a tangent, but too many people take their health for granted, and I just don't. And so I don't make resolutions. But thank you, Mr. Calgary, Mr. Bella B in Calgary, which, by the way, is one of my favorite cities in Canada. You know, I never told this story before. I did the Canadian Football League on TV for 2 years. And going to Calgary was one of my favorite stops with the Calgary Stampeders. And Doug Flutie was on Calgary when I went up there. And the Chinook Winds. Have you ever heard of these Chinook Winds in Calgary? Oh, boy. Used to love going to Calgary. Used to love going to all of those great cities in Canada. You know, Regina, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Edmonton. Going to Ottawa. Of course, Vancouver is great. Loved it. So thank you for chiming in Calgary. I'm a huge hockey fan, too. I've never been to a game in Calgary. I would love to go up there and see the Flames play once. But I love Calgary. One of my real favorites. Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, Mark Stein. He's going to be coming on here in just a few moments. We'll talk some NBA basketball. He was in L.A. last night for the game with the Mavs and the Lakers, so we'll break it down with him. But I want to talk to him about what Adam Silver in the league is proposing about a midseason tournament, reseeding, and things like that. How about Francis in Glendale? Grant, why does Joe Burrow look like a guy who'd start a fight but would yell, "Touch me, and my dad will sue you," when you're about to punch him? You know what, Francis? I'll think about that on my flight home back to Sacramento this afternoon. I'll give it. We'll see. All right? We'll see. All right, before we get Mark Stein on, can we got time for a call? Can I get to Daniel in Lake Tahoe? Who doesn't like Lake Tahoe? Daniel, you got a lot of snow
greetings
up there?
Greetings from beautiful up? Lake Tahoe.
I love it. How much snow you have up there?
Not too much. It could be more.
All right.
Okay, I agree with you, Grant. You do not fire a GM when two of his stars are hurt. However, you do fire your GM if he passes up on a generational player like Luka Doncic. You fire him the day after, and you fire him because he said he didn't want to take a generational player like Luka because he didn't want to take the ball out of De'Aaron Fox's hands. You fire him. You fire him yesterday. You fire him tomorrow.
Okay. So we should. Okay. All right. That's fine. We'll fire him. We'll do that for your New Year's deal. But we should also fire the general manager and at the time, the head coach of Phoenix, who coached Luka, in Igor Kokoshkov, who was the head coach of Phoenix, who coached Luka for 2 years, and they didn't take him. And we should also fire the Atlanta Hawks front office because they traded Luka to Dallas, right? So let's not only fire Vlade, let's fire the Phoenix Suns front office and the Atlanta Hawks front office, too. Can we do that just to appease you, Daniel?
The head coach of Phoenix did get fired, and Atlanta.
Yeah, but it wasn't because of Luka Doncic.
It is as dysfunctional as the Kings front office is.
That's fine. And I'll
fire Vlade.
Fire him.
All right. So, all right. He needs
okay.
To go.
So, Daniel, let's say we're going to fire Vlade today just for you to make your New Year's perfect. All right. Let's say that they fire Vlade before I get off the air here in 17 minutes. Is Luka in Sacramento or is he still in Dallas?
Doesn't matter. You fire him okay. To make an example of him.
You make an example of him. All right. I'll tell you what. When I get home today, I'm going to call Vlade Divac and tell him that I talked to Daniel in Lake Tahoe and he needs to be made an example of. I'll do that just for you. I'm going to call him when I get to Sacramento. How's that for you?
Ask any fan in any NBA city what they would ask for if their GM did that.
Okay.
They would ask for his head. Fire him.
Good. We'll fire him, and then I'll tell you what I'll do. After we fire him and hire the new general manager, we'll see if he can call Donnie Nelson and Mark Cuban and Rick Carlisle and try to get a trade to get Luka Doncic back in Sacramento. How's that for you? We'll do that just to appease you.
My dog can do a better job.
Good. Then you know what? Once Vlade is fired, have your dog send his resume in to the Sacramento Kings. You never know. You just never know. I mean, we're almost to 2020. It's a new decade. Maybe a dog can run a front office of an NBA team, Daniel.
Grant, the front office of the Kings wouldn't hire the best GM out
okay.
there because they don't know what they're doing.
Okay. All right, Daniel. Hey, Daniel, who's your favorite team?
The Dallas Mavericks.
Okay. I thought so. Thank you. That way, I should have asked that question first. See you, Daniel. I should have asked that question first. I didn't ask that question first. I asked it last. Shame on me. Shame on me. All right, we're Mark Stein is we're trying to still get a hold of him. So while we wait for Mark, if you want to call the show, 800-636-8686. I'll be happy to talk about that. First of all, if people thought that Luka Doncic would be this good, he would have gone first. The Phoenix Suns would have taken him. All right? Period. They wouldn't have taken DeAndre Ayton. They would have taken Luka Doncic. Igor Kokoschkov, who coached Luka Doncic, obviously had some input in that decision. And although he is on record as saying that Luka was a tremendous player, they took DeAndre Ayton. Okay? The Atlanta Hawks had a chance to take Luka Doncic after Sacramento took Marvin Bagley, and they took Trae Young. They traded Luka Doncic to the Dallas Mavericks. No one thought that Luka would be doing what he is doing. And he is fun to watch. There is absolutely no doubt about that. But give the draft 3 years, would you please? I went through this same thing with Tyreke Evans and Steph Curry back in Sacramento. What is that now, 8 years ago? When Tyreke was the rookie of the year. And I had people call on my show saying the Kings, boy, what a great player they took. Boy, they finally hit a home run. They got the rookie of the year. Then Steph Curry, if you remember, had those ankle issues. And he had bad ankle issues, so much so in the third year where he only played, what, 25 games? I'm doing this off the top of my head. Where there was talk that the Golden State Warriors were not going to re-sign Steph Curry. And then at the time, they gave him a bargain, a four-year, $40 million deal, and the rest is history. Right? So here's what I'll say in closing to this. Luka Doncic looks to be like a very special player. You don't need me to tell you that. But in 3 years from now, or 3 years from draft day, which would be at the end of next season, you can go back and evaluate the draft again. Just like you can evaluate the draft 3 years ago in the NBA and see which teams did well, and we can see the teams that did not. I still think Marvin Bagley is going to be an all-star in the NBA. Unfortunately, he's been hurt a lot in his first two seasons. And you can't be an all-star if you're not on the floor. Will he be Luka Doncic? He probably won't be Luka Doncic. But if he is, and again, if, with a capital I, an all-star player, and I think he will be, then maybe you look back on the draft and go, you know what? The Kings didn't hit a home run, but they hit a triple. Maybe DeAndre Ayton will be a guy that takes Phoenix deep into the playoffs 1 year. And they'll say the same thing. Or maybe Trae Young. I don't have a crystal ball. But what I do know is fans to try to evaluate a draft after 18 months are being way premature there. You got to wait. Wait. I've gone over this time and time and time again. You know how many fans, and I used to take calls on my show all the time. Do you know how many teams, speaking of the Dallas Mavericks, do you know the Dallas Mavericks? Think about this. They had Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki, right? And Mark Cuban did not want to sign Steve Nash to a long-term deal because he thought he was breaking down and had a back issue, right? Steve Nash goes to Phoenix and wins back-to-back MVPs. Now, to credit to Dallas, they won a championship, and Rick Carlisle is as good of a coach as there is in the NBA. They won their championship. Could you imagine how things would have been in Dallas if they had signed Steve Nash to that six-year deal instead of him going to Phoenix, and you had Nash and Dirk Nowitzki both in their prime? I think they would have won multiple championships. We talk about this with Chauncey Billups. How many teams said, nah, before Chauncey Billups ended up in a situation where he could win a championship with Detroit? How about the Golden State Warriors? I deal with this all the time. If you remember Chris Mullin's ceremony at half court, when Joe Lacob, the new owner of the Golden State Warriors, was booed off the floor and out of the arena. You know why? Because the Golden State Warriors had traded their most popular and best player, Monte Ellis, to the Milwaukee Bucks. Right? And Joe Lacob and Chris Mullin, it was such a shame in his ceremony. It was awful. That trade turned around the Golden State Warriors. Turned the entire franchise around. Because at that time, they decided to trade their best player. So just wait a couple of years on this, would you? 3 years is what I give rookies to fully evaluate them. And then let's see how that works out in Dallas. You know, it's interesting that Kristaps Porzingis played his best basketball of the year when Luka Doncic was out of the lineup. What's going to be interesting is, will those two be able to coexist? Will those two be able to stick together where Kristaps Porzingis really wants to be the man, but he won't be the man because Luka is there? How about Nostradamus? Grant, while we're all firing people on the show now, can you fire the Knicks owner too? Thanks. Don't get me started on that, would you please? I can't fire James Dolan. I know that in New York, that would be, what would you say, of Knicks fans? 99%? I'm sorry, I can't do that. Grant, damn. This is from Jerry in Huskerland. Love the way you handled Daniel and his talented basketball managing dog. Maybe his dog's very talented, right? Maybe it's not like underdog, but maybe it's another special type of dog that's got special talents that I'm not aware of. Apply. If the job is open, you're in Tahoe. Forget about applying. Go down and do a, on-the-site job interview. Bring your dog. Do it. Make an impact. Make an impact. All right. I guess Mark Stein is unavailable. Again, he was in L.A. last night, told me that he would be flying all night and might be asleep. He must be sleeping. I'll give the guy that got the Kurt Gowdy Award in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, by the way, with Vladdy, who is also inducted into the Hall of Fame. But Daniel in Tahoe doesn't like him, so I'm not going to talk about him. Unbelievable. But that's sports, and I get it. It's a make-or-miss league in the NBA. It's a win-or-lose sports world. I get that. Vladdy gets that. All general managers get that. Coaches get that. But it's just it's mind-boggling to me, and I talk about this all the time in the NFL. And I talk about this even with Golden State. You know, why is it that Steve Kerr loses his starting backcourt and they have been so bad? Now, they have started playing a little bit better recently. A little bit. But why is that? It is a player's league, is it not? How many teams in the NBA can survive injuries? Some can. They are few and far between. Golden State is 9-25 this year. Now, do you think people in the Bay Area are saying Steve Kerr can't coach? I would hope not. Are we looking at Alvin Gentry, who I love Alvin Gentry, and I think Alvin Gentry is a really good coach. So he loses Zion Williamson, has not stepped on the floor yet, this number one pick who's going to be a great sensation. Should we fire the staff? Should we fire David Griffin in New Orleans because he drafted a player that's hurt already and can't play? No. And now you hear Karl Anthony Towns. What would happen if Minnesota traded Karl Anthony Towns? Like, what would that do for their franchise? Well, you can say, well, it's not helping their franchise now. You know, 2 years ago, they were in the playoffs. And now they're in third to last place. Hey, you know what? It is always phenomenal sitting in here for Romy. James, Garrett, thank you for all your help. I am on my way to the airport to get back to Sactown to do my show. Maybe Daniel and his dog can come visit me in Sacramento. It's only a two-hour drive. Daniel, get in your car and come to the studio today. I'll put you on the air. Be great. Happy New Year, everybody. Romy is back here on Thursday to start the new year. I appreciate all of you making this such an easy 3 hours and a fun 3 hours. Until next time, Grant Napier saying so long. Happy New Year, and thanks for listening to CBS Sports Radio.